This is the Mind Your Business podcast.
Good afternoon and welcome to another edition of the Mind Your Business podcast. My name is Matt Williams. I'm joined, as ever, by my very good friend Alan Clark. My voice is a little bit broken from the football last night, where England got through to the finals of Euro 2020. Alan is now a dedicated England fan. He's told me he's swapped sides of the border. He's cheering on the Three Lions. How are you doing, Alan? You having a good week?
Well, I am, but I'm going to Scotland in a couple of weeks, so you've now got me well and truly lynched there, Matt. Thank you very much. But yes, I was enjoying the football last night, and I am very much looking forward to England-Italy final. And well done.
Excellent. Okay, so yeah, we might need to change when we record next week, because I may still be drunk. But let's see. So what's the topic this week, Alan? What are we talking about?
Okay, we're going to swing back to business, maybe traditional business focus here, and talk about the good old-fashioned business plan stroke forecasting disciplines. That's what we're going to get into today.
So the importance of having a business plan, no matter how old your business is, there's an old adage, right? Lots of business owners I speak to have a business plan. A lot of them have not looked at it. It gets done once, kind of convinces you that, yeah, there's a business there, and then it gets never looked at again. Some have never done one. Some have one that they're looking at and monitoring and tweaking all the time. What's your initial thinking on this, Alan? Are you a business plan kind of guy, or is it not your cup of tea?
I have to say, I have traditionally been in the not my cup of tea camp.
That surprises me. Just off the bat, I would think you'd be all over a good business plan, because you love your mission statements, you love your kind of corporate strategic piece, but you're not feeling the business plan.
And I do have a plan to grow my business, so that's probably sounding now like a contradiction in terms. But traditionally, the business plan comes up for me as something that's restrictive and fixed and non-flexible and slow. And if it is that, I'm not a fan of that. There's loads of what phrases in wisdom that you have a plan ready for battle and it's sort of ripped up within the first minute of meeting your enemy type thing. However, I also think there's a huge amount of wisdom in getting really, really, really clear on what you want from your business and putting some forecasting in. So whilst I've started my sort of career not a fan of, and I've seen some business plans, I've seen loads of business plans, but they're quite fixed. I'm not a fan of that. I am a huge fan of creating something that allows you to really get clear on what you want to use your business for, who you want to serve in terms of your customer base, and forecasting there.
So there's elements of a business plan you're on board with, the whole belt and braces business plan piece, not so much. Is that right? Is that where you are?
And it's right. And I think it's what you said right at the introduction here is they said so many business owners don't read it. And actually, I was coaching somebody today who had done a 90-day plan the previous week, using a 90-day plan template and couldn't remember what was in it.
Wow. Okay.
So that's for the Matt. I'd love to get your views and actually let's have a conversation about what we feel makes up a really great business plan that works. You know, that I think that'd be really helpful, because people are definitely in two camps. Camp one, business plan 90 days, follow it to the letter. Camp two, know that it's all about customer delight, and that's all I'm going to do is just continue to delight my customers and make our business better and better. We don't need a business plan, thanks very much.
Okay, well, you asked two questions there.
I did.
Before I say about what I think a good business plan has in it, I have a business plan for my business that we put through a clever bit of software. We built it up, you know, we had the 9-month run into our business, so we had a huge amount of time to write our business plan, and we needed finance at the start, so the bank were really keen to see the business plan. So I wrote my business plan for two aims, really. One, to convince myself and my wife that it would work, and two, to convince the bank that they would give us some money. And we used this software, and we put together the traditional bits of the business plan, so the written piece, talking about, you know, the unique opportunity that we've got and what our strengths are going to be, and some SWOT analysis in there, and who our typical customer is and who our competition is and how they are structured and how we're different to them, all of that piece. Then we did a 3-year forecast and once that was all put together, we got an 81 page business plan, which is just stupid. When you look at it now, this PDF, you can scroll through it for about 10 minutes and not get to the end, right? It's got all the detail in there. Now, that product, the 81 pages, I would argue are fairly, as a document, is not particularly useful anymore. At the time we spent thinking about each section, so thinking about our ideal client and how we're going to service them, was really useful. The numbers bit, I remember sitting down with a business coach at the time, and him telling me, "You've written this for your wife, haven't you?" That was his first thing. He looked at the numbers and said, "You've written this for your wife." I can tell that because it is operating just above break even. You've done this to prove that it will work in a worst case scenario. Go away, be ballsy, and put in some proper numbers, because if it just achieves that, you're going to give up. It's not enough. And we went and we did it and we put some numbers in. And even then, when I came back thinking I was being really ballsy with our sales growth, I remember sitting with you last year and we opened up that business plan, didn't we? And we'd smashed it. And at the time, I couldn't see past. I was still in that business horror story mindset, I guess, of what happens if no one joins us and what happens if we can't sell and blah, blah, blah. So as a document, I think a business plan, if it's just built once and never used, is a waste of time. In terms of producing the document, the time spent thinking about certain areas are really powerful. Whether you put that into a plan or whether you don't, that's the key element of business planning, is the time and the headspace. Whether it ever gets to a formal business plan, I don't particularly care, but I do want a business owner to understand who their competition is, understand their ideal client, understand their cash flow implications and their business model and how that all relates. That's really key. Whether you put it into a business plan, there'll be times in your career when you need to, because you're going to raise money in investment, or you need to lend from a bank, or a business coach comes in and wants to revolutionize everything. Whatever it is, that's the time to build a business plan. But I think it's much more important to have a handle on those key areas of your business. That's where I am, Alan. And you were smiling through a lot of that, so I think you're liking what you're hearing.
Yeah, no, I'm loving it. You know, you are in that process. You are going deep on clarity and context for various aspects of your business. Insights are plenty that you can use. Do you feel then there is a possibility for a one-pager business plan that still allows you to have these insights, work these insights, but it's presented on a one-page rather than an 82-page?
I can't believe you said that, because that was literally my next point. The best bit of the tool that we use to build the 81-page business plan is it then hooks out this sort of the first paragraph from each of the sections plus some of the top numbers in the forecast and creates a one page. They call it a pitch deck. Like the bits, if you were going to the bank, the bit when they haven't got time to read the 81 pages, what are the key headings? And that's exactly it, a one page business plan, having put all the effort into having enough content, I guess, in your mind and knowledge of your business to have written an 80 page one if you wanted, but the ability to distill that down to the one pager. And that one pager, actually, I'm going to pivot a bit here because I said I don't use my business plan. We wrote it. But the one pager is embedded, all my team and me, whenever we're in our client management system, first thing everyone sees is our core values and what we're standing for, why we're trying to do things differently. All that stuff that came out of that business planning process or is in our one page document is front and center every time our team log into our systems.
So it is more than possible to have a one page business plan that's very valuable.
100%, yes. Now, there's two elements of a business plan, right? We talked about it. There's the I call it the written piece, all the words, and then there's all the numbers. And a good business plan merges those two together, right? I think a lot of business owners, when they do the numbers in their business plan, miss out one really, really key thing. The amount of times I see a business plan from a brand new business owner, they give me a profit and loss account. So this is all the sales I'm going to make, and this is how much it costs for me to sell, and this is the profit and the loss. And look, by month four I'm breaking even, and by month six I'm making profit. Aren't we wonderful? And what they miss is that disconnect between profit and loss and cash flow. And the amount of times I've had to sit with someone and say, this is great, you're making profit in month eight, but to get to that point, you've had to buy 100K of assets, and you've got customers that are now paying you on 90 days, and you've got to pay everything up front because you're brand new. And actually, if you don't make profit by month four, you're going to run out of cash before month seven. So being profitable in month eight is a waste of time from my point of view. It's understanding that, and it's phenomenal the amount of business plans I see that have no mention of cash flow. Nothing at all. Just, we're going to make money, we're going to break even here, blah, blah, blah. And it just, and we just keep, we're forever sending people sort of back to the drawing board almost. Because it's hard enough to forecast, it's hard enough to forecast stuff, right? You don't know if people are going to buy what you've got. I do this all day, and we just talked about how my forecasts were well under where we actually ended up, right?
Mm-hmm.
It is difficult to forecast, and I get that, but if you're just forecasting profit and loss, you're only doing half the job, and you're kind of closing your eyes off to the more important part of it. You can trundle along breaking even for a few months if your cash flow is good. What you can't do is trundle along making profits on paper but not turning it into cash for 6 months. That's going to kill you.
So when you are helping business owners understand that, and that cash flow element is completely absent from their business plan, what do you ask them to do with regards to cash flow as part of a business plan?
So we typically take their profit and loss numbers, pull them apart, put them back together again, and then we ask questions around the cash flow. So we'll ask them to think about, what are your payment terms? Are your customers paying you 50% up front and then on completion, or 100% on the point of delivery after 30 days, etc., etc.? So we understand that, and then we can model that in, right? Our tools that we use, we plot their P&L in, and then we just build the rules around the cash flow. So we know we get paid at this point. Same with expenses. So is your rent paid quarterly in advance? Is it paid every month? Etc., etc. We build the rules around each of their costs. We know things like, if you've got staff, that they're going to pay the wages at the end of the month, but then they pay the PAYE and the National Insurance on the 19th of the next month. So we use all our knowledge, right? All the stuff that we the same for everybody. We plot it all together. And then our aim, whenever we're doing that task is to kind of find the month in the first 12 months, whenever it is, when there's a massive cash pinch. There'll be one where, you know, the director's put in 30k or whatever it is to get it going, and then if they, you know, they've got a slow burn for sales and it takes a little while to kind of grow, which is typical, which normally say month four or month five, where if they haven't hit 10 grand of sales, say they're going to have a 5 grand cash hole. And that's what that's our aim, is to build that cash flow to then say, look, this is where you're going to be. If you don't do this, this is the cash position. If you do better, great, the cash will come up. If you do worse than that, then that you run out of cash, your cash one way shortens. So if we're doing 10 grand a month, we know we're not going to run out of cash until at least September. And hopefully between now and then, we've built it past 10k a month. If we only do 5 grand a month, then actually we've only got enough cash to June. And so that's that kind of crystallises their thoughts really well, in terms of we've got to, A, we've got to forecast ourselves properly, but B, we have got to go out there and make some sales, because we're sat on 30k now, it isn't going to last very long if we build this 20k a month business and then don't deliver on the sales. And what almost always happens, not every time, but almost always, you outperform your sales forecast. Everyone sits there and thinks no one's going to buy from me, or they're not convinced people are going to buy from me. I was talking to a guy who I know listens to this podcast, actually, really brand new business, like 3 months in. And he was hoping to do X thousand a month. And we just talked, and he did that in month one. Month two, he's £500 over. Month three, he's just finished, he's like 1,800 quid over. And month four, he's going to be 2 or 3 grand over. And actually, that's fairly typical. People generally outperform them. But our job is to get us down to, worst case, what's your cash runway look like? And we do that by understanding that each transaction that's going in there, how your customers are paying you, and how that, if what timeline each transaction is on. And then we've got access to loads of different tools, as every accountant should have, that will allow us to plot that and then move it. Do you know what, if you sometimes it is a case of just saying, you know what, at this point, before there's a business, there's just a business model, that's the best time to do this. Because you might think, you know what, we're going to give all our customers 30 days to pay us, and that may give you a 6 month runway on your cash flow. And then we say, well, you know what, that doesn't feel like enough, right? Like, that makes the directors nervous. So we say, okay, well, look, let's get you paid on 14 days. What does that do? Well, that gives you another 3 months of runway at the back end. Like, that's the difference. 15 days, once you compound it over all your sales and all those transactions, can add 3 months onto your cash runway. And then 9 months is a massive amount of kind of margin for error, that if, you know what, within 9 months, you should be able to get your sales up to where you need it to be. And if not, it's enough time to pivot the business to do something different to do that. So that's why it's important, because you can make little changes at the start. Before you're trading is the best time to change anything, because no customers expect anything. No customers know. There's no legacy pricing, legacy terms, nothing like that. You can come out of the block and say, you know what, everyone pays us up front. That's how we run our business. And you know what? That will have a fundamental impact on where your business is in 3 years, because your cash flow should not be an issue at that point.
So one of our first podcasts was entitled Crave Clarity, Not Certainty. And listening to you and that business plan that you've just described, including cash flow, brings huge amounts of clarity, actually, in many dimensions for any business owner, which I absolutely love listening to that. So what would you say then for the Matt Williams best business plan? I'm hearing that it's possible to do it in one page, that actually the work to go and create the information for the one pager is hugely helpful. Cash flow is very much omitted most of the time. So what would you say is an absolute, this needs to be in a business plan to help maximize performance success.
It's interesting that you went back to the podcast about clarity, not certainty, because my mind goes back to the podcast we did on mindset and that kind of thriving mindset, because I think a good business plan, certainly if it's a business plan at the start of a business, the best kind of outcome for that business plan is that it gives the business owners comfort that there is a business there, that we know that it's not going to run out of cash in 6 months. We know that we've thought about who our customers are, and we know there's a market for it, and we know our price point is correct. All those sort of things that you can, if you're not careful, this idea that's grown in your head, you can turn it into the next Google, where everyone else is looking at it like that, it's got no legs at all. So, I'm sorry, I've just got a note through to say I've signed up a new client. Happy days.
Yay.
So I think that's a real good byproduct, right? At the very start of the business, it grounds you in, yes, this is working and the business is going to work. Right. So a really good use of a business plan is that it gives you that comfort at the start that there is a proper business model there. That's point one. I think secondary to that, it lets you get back, if you're a more established business, going through that whole process that you did at the very start, or if you didn't do it back then, doing it for the first time, gets you back engaged with that kind of inward looking view of your business. Because it's amazing how a business grows and develops in the first 2, 3, 4 years. It's amazing how what you start off doing is not what you end up doing in 3 years, because business owners are very good, entrepreneurial business owners are very good at kind of shifting with the wind, right? So we're doing this, but actually, no, our customers keep asking us for this. We're now doing that. That's great. Using a business plan once you're established is a really useful tool to just reconnect with what you actually trying to do. Are you trying to disrupt? Are you trying to grow a £1 million business so that you can sell? Whatever it is, reconnecting and, yeah, go through the process to produce the whole plan, but actually bring it, condense it down into a one-pager that you can then use as a tool, you can stick on the wall, that you can see every day and focus on. And that goes to the next step, which you alluded to, which is, once you've got your overall plan, so we know where we're heading in year two or year three or whenever, we need to then bring it all the way back to, what am I doing in the next 90 days to achieve part A of that plan? Because that's the next bit. Like whenever I'm speaking to any business coach or any consultant to growing businesses, whether they call it a 90-day plan or they call it something else, it's always the outcome. What are we going to do? You're very careful not to ever mention 90-day plans when you coach me, but I have a list which is in front of me all day, every day, of the four things I am going to do to achieve the plan. And that's the bit that whenever you're doing, you can write a business plan, the document's no good unless you action it, but you're not going to action a five-year business plan in one day. And you shouldn't try to, because you're never going to achieve that. What you need to do is break it down into 4, 5, 6 discrete tasks that you can achieve that gets you further along the road to wherever you want to be. And that can come back to forecasts. You know, you can be, well, we want to get to 60K a month of sales or whatever it is, but it needs to be a very discreet and small part of that overall plan. If you try and do too much at once, you're going to fall over, aren't you?
Yeah. I want to touch on the word review.
Okay.
Again, some people review very well, some people don't. You know, some people very good at action, some people not. But review, what's come up to me listening to you, especially on the business plan that you're describing is that would be a fantastic document to review. Now, I know I'm not saying anything new here, but at an agreed frequency, but with the intention of your reviewing, throwing up insights, learnings, but actually unlearnings and relearnings. That's a framework that we've touched on before with respect to your business plan, because you've done a lot of work, you've got some deep insight into the market, into customers, into competition, into cash flow, into finance. But actually, the context changes, business changes, you're right. The more you suggested there, but the more entrepreneurial I am, more likely I'm pivoting, I'm going here. So, you know, but actually having that discipline to look at your plan, to create more insight that you can then pour back into the business, that to me is what's coming up hugely when I'm listening to you there describing that version of the plan. I think that'd be incredibly useful.
It's incredibly useful and it's incredibly rare. And that makes me sad.
Well, I need, honestly, that's like a lightning bolt here, right? You are an accountant. You understand finance. You're very, very good at what you do. You have got a thriving business, right? And you actually have a business plan. And you have just said review in the context that I've just described it would be very, very useful. So everyone needs to listen to that. Everyone that's listening to this, including me, listen. You know, that Matt has said that would be very, very useful and very, very rare. It makes him sad. So first of all, I don't want Matt to be sad. So let's do it. But bigger than that is it's very rare. And all I can see now is a huge advantage. You know, if you're the business person that's listening to this and says, right, okay, I'm going to take the wisdom on this and I'm going to review on the 26th of the month, just making this up, I do that every single month for 12 months and I use the insights and I use the learnings, I unlearn and I relearn, then I'm hearing you saying that's a very potent thing to do and there's huge benefits and it's also very rare.
Exactly that. I sit down, so we've got, I don't know, 250 clients. I reckon certainly less than 10% of those am I comfortable sit down and review their current financial position against last year, last month, business plan, projections, whatever, less than 10%. We give them all the data, and some of them pay me to sit down with me to go through it. Some of them I know look at their numbers because they'll ring me and say, have you seen this? What does it mean? The rest of them don't. And there's some brilliant business owners in there, really successful, flying in their businesses, and yet doesn't, either for one reason or another, just doesn't get onto their radar as something that they want to do or should do.
And this is a loaded question, but even the ones that are flying, do you believe that a monthly review in the spirit of your describing, would that add value further into the business or not?
Yes. I mean, a lot of the time, without speaking for my clients, we're a bit of a safety net. So we're looking at it, and they know that if it's going sideways, we'll ring them and tell them, oh, you need to have a conversation here about this. Now, that's great, but I'm not convinced every accountant is like that. And I wouldn't want it to be on us to catch everything, because if we're not engaged to do it, we're not, you know, it's not always part of our process. I would say 90% will catch, but there'll be 10 that wouldn't, that if they were doing it themselves would check it. So I don't know, I think a lot of business owners are scared to put forecasts in because they don't want to miss them. They don't want to put, I want to do 500,000 and write it down and then have someone hold them accountable. And it's interesting. I think we could do a whole podcast on that mindset of accountability for business owners. But yeah, I think that it's definitely, the tools are there, right? If you're using Xero and you're using, you know, we use LivePlan to create our business plans and our forecasts. Those two talk together. You could quite easily then dump your numbers from Xero straight into LivePlan every month and see exactly where you are. But then, to be honest, Alan, I could do that and I don't. I've got my business plan in LivePlan. I check my numbers every month and against my business plan, but I don't use it within the tool. We use it elsewhere. But it's all doable, but it's not, I don't think the average business owner in the UK, whilst they may have a business plan, they are not reviewing it.
Wow. Well, to be honest, I think this podcast has served its purpose about threefold. You know, that's incredible. I mean, I actually said this last week as well. You know, there's a theme here, but I'm learning, because my mind's in overdrive listening to that. And you know, I've got you know, my situational mastery leadership model, and review is something there, and I've broken that down, and I'm thinking of that element of review applied to this, which is a situation that the financial health of your business would be incredibly potent. And you know, clarity is coming up for me again, that the mindset, performance, it's there's actually performance to be gained hugely in this process, as you've discussed today, for any business owner.
Absolutely. Okay, well, look, we've done 32 minutes on business plans. I'm sure we'll come back and revisit this, because it feels like we've just scratched the surface. But for now, we've had a really good conversation. We've got some outcomes, right? It's important to wherever you are in your business, whether you're brand new, established, reconnect with your business plan. And if you don't have one, then don't necessarily have to go and write 81 pages of one. But I would recommend, and I'm getting the feeling that Alan would too, that you try and put a one-page business plan together. And you know what? I can give you the template for that, because it will drop straight out of our system. So if you want that, we can deliver that, and you can fill in the sections that it suggests, paragraph in each, and you've got a one-page business plan. It needs to be more of a process than just filling in one page, though. If you're not sitting and thinking and picking it apart and putting it back together, you're not doing it properly, is my opinion on that. And then once you've got it and you've got your forecast in, understand that the cash flow needs to be a key part of that. Never just forecast profit and loss. And then once you've got all of that, you need to review it. And if you're not reviewing it, you may as well not bother in the first place. Is that kind of the gist of our conversation?
I think that's a wonderful summary of a 33-minute podcast, Matt. Thank you.
There we go. That's our one-page podcast, right?
The executive summary of said podcast.
Okay. On that note, then, we will see you all next week, when I think we know what we're talking about, but I'm not going to say it now in case we pivot in the meantime, because we've been known to do that. As ever, give us some love on social media. Reach out. If you've got anything you want us to talk about, ping us an email or send us a message on social, and we will add it to our list of topics, because it's growing. We're never short of something to talk about, are we, Alan?
Absolutely not, sir. Absolutely not. Looking forward to next week.
I'm looking forward to next week. I'm hoping that my hangover would have gone by then.
Okay, bye-bye.
This is the Mind Your Business podcast.